Greetings, everyone. Welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. Today is Tuesday, July 16, 2019. In Nashville today, we are waiting for the remnants of Tropical Storm Barry to roll through. And so we are having periods of strong sunshine, but also with threatening clouds overhead. The air is very heavy. As we get started today, a couple of reminders. If you want to keep up with the podcast, there are a couple ways of doing so. You can become a friend of our Facebook page called the Mark Fraley Podcast. And when the shows are posted, we always publish a notice there. Also, you can subscribe on the iTunes podcast application. You will get a notification through that application within minutes of a new podcast being posted. As always, we love to hear from our listeners. If you have any ideas for future shows or would just like to comment on what you've heard, you can send an email to markfraleypodcast@gmail.com. Now, one of the things I'm striving to do with this podcast is to bring attention and awareness of the wonderful people who work in the field of parks and recreation, wildlife conservation, and related fields here in Tennessee. We have done several interviews in the past with persons who have, through their professional endeavors, been awarded the Fellow Award by the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association. This is the highest level of professional recognition in that field in Tennessee. My guest today is one such individual, Bob Parker, Parks and Recreation Director for the City of Sevierville, Tennessee. Bob has had a distinguished career approaching now 40 years in that position. Bob has made many contributions to the profession of parks and recreation and was the president of the TRPA at the time that the Recreation and Conservation Fund was established by state government. I would say that he was quite instrumental in the passage of that legislation, which has benefited parks and recreation agencies throughout the state. As you will hear, Bob continues today striving for excellence in what he does. This interview is especially fun for me because I do have a personal connection with Sevierville and Sevier County, having served the role of Parks and Recreation Director for Sevierville shortly before Bob took that job. I do have fond memories of the time I spent there and the nice people and how nice they were to me. And so today we talk with Bob about his career, his accomplishments, and about the new comprehensive plan that has been done for parks and recreation in Sevierville. And so I hope you enjoy the show. So Bob Parker, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Well, it's great to be here, Mark. Good to see you.
Bob, thanks for driving down. I know you drove down from Sevierville this morning, from Knoxville, I guess is where you're at.
Yeah, I live in Knoxville.
Right.
I commute over to Sevierville every day, and I was doing fine until I got to Nashville, and then it just came to a halt.
Well, that's right. The I-440 construction project is halting traffic a lot in the mornings these days.
I remember when that road was built, and that was the answer to all the problems in Nashville. Little did we all know that that was just the beginning.
There were some of us that were fighting against that road being built, but it got built anyway. And it seems to maybe have created more problems than it solved, but that's often the case.
Hindsight's always.
So you're on your way to a trails meeting.
I am. You know, I try to stay sharp, and you know, I've been at this business over 40 years.
Right.
But things change, and if you don't get out and find out what's going on, you're falling behind.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, thank you for coming in. It's kind of traditional in this program, to talk with people about their careers and what they've done in parks and recreation and sometimes conservation and parks work. How did you get interested in the field of parks and recreation?
I had a friend that I went to high school with that I'm from North Carolina originally, and he was a major at North Carolina State University, in Parks and Rec. And, you know, the little town I grew up in, we had nothing. And I mean nothing. Right. Except was at the school. And I thought, well, you know, that might be a pretty cool thing to do. So I was, at that point in time, that was in the mid-70s, I researched it and I transferred to University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, who had a degree at that point in recreation administration, which it exposed me to. It's a liberal arts school, obviously, right, but a great school, but exposed me to all facets of recreation, arts and drama and music and, you know, business issues. It was a great major. I loved it. And then I decided that was what I was going to do. I am truly an anomaly. Not many people like me. I have a degree, undergraduate degree in recreation administration. I have a master's degree, and that's all I've ever done is work in the field.
Well, you're a rare bird these days. People jump from field to field these days, don't they?
They do.
Consider myself.
But that's okay. You know, you got to have all kinds. And I guess, you know, I'm a kind of easygoing guy, and change is, I understand change. I understand the need for change. But for me, change is a slow thing.
Right.
So
how did you wind up as Parks and Rec Director in Sevierville?
Wow. Well, number one, I wanted to move to the mountains. I had graduated from University of North Carolina. I was Parks and Rec Director in a little town in eastern North Carolina, way east, Southport, okay, North Carolina. Okay. One-man show. I mowed the grass. I lined the fields. I was the guy that answered the phone. So it was a grassroots job, to be honest.
Right.
But I wanted to move to the mountains. And I applied for a job in Sevierville, Tennessee in summer of 1979, having no idea whatsoever that I would even be considered. But at the time, Sevierville had gone through some change. A gentleman by the name of Mark Fraley had left.
Imagine that.
And he moved to Nashville, and then they hired a local guy, Bill Robertson. Bill was a great guy, but he was a football guy, right, and he loved football, and he was a coach. And so Bill stayed a few months and moved to Cleveland. And so they were looking for somebody fresh, somebody that had a little bit of experience, and in Sevierville, somebody that was married. And I just happened to check all the boxes.
They were looking for someone who was, quote unquote, stable. And that was evidence.
Exactly. And I just happened to meet that, you know, there was no magic here. And at the time, the city manager, he was 26. I was 23 or 24. And he was like me. He had, you know, married, no children, but was out in the big world looking for a job. And,
right,
you know, so.
Right. Russell Treadway was the city manager there when I left. And, he was not the person that hired me to be the director in Sevierville. I was hired by Hewlett Cheney. I don't know if you've
I
ever
do
come
know
across that
Mr.
name.
Cheney. He lives in Knoxville now.
Right.
He retired from Farm Bureau.
Farm Bureau. Yeah. Right.
Great guy.
Oh, super, super people. I have to say this: my experience in Sevierville was a tremendous fun experience. The people were so nice to me. And
that really
so
hasn't
welcoming.
Changed, Mark.
Yeah,
you
so
know?
Welcoming.
Oh, yeah. That really hasn't changed,
right,
even though Sevierville has truly changed.
Sure.
And we'll talk about that if you want to.
Well, you know, Hewlett Cheney was the guy responsible for building that city park.
Yeah.
Back in the early 70s,
yeah,
I guess it was. And that's been a true success.
Oh, it is way too small now,
right,
for our community. And we have plans to not only upgrade that, but to build some other parks.
You've had some real success stories, though, in Sevierville. And I know over the years, although I've not been in Parks and Recreation in a number of years, I keep my eyes and ears on what's going on. And I know Sevierville has won many, many awards for their programming and park maintenance and all that sort of stuff that's going on there.
Yes. The city of Sevierville has always considered parks and recreation not a nicety, but a necessity. And I think our late mayor, Brian, actually put it very well. He says, you know, the state of Tennessee says you don't have to have one of Parks and Rec, but I don't want to live in a place that don't have one.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, last year, he passed away, unfortunately, but he was the longest running mayor in Sevierville, I think 23 years.
Bob, I have to tell you that it was the mayor that I was involved with, of course, was Gary Wade. Mm-hmm. And Gary Wade and Hewlett Cheney really had to do some sales with the council to hire a park and recreation director at the time.
I can only imagine. I know Gary very well.
Right.
Gary is probably, I respect him more than anyone in Sevierville.
Sure.
He loves the city.
Right.
He's done well. Being actually, he was on the Supreme Court for
sure,
state of Tennessee.
Right.
He now is the dean of the LMU Law School in Knoxville.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, those two fellas had a lot of credibility with the members of council. I mean, when they said something was true, the city council believed it. But they were suspicious of starting a park and recreation department.
I actually still have the files.
Okay.
Of when it was a farm and how it came to be. And there are still some minutes of those meetings,
right,
when it truly was, it was not even in the city, I don't think, at the time. They had to annex it.
I didn't recall that. But,
yeah, yeah. But, you know, that was a big deal.
Right.
Big deal.
Now, I can recall when I left there, the population was about 5,000 people or so, maybe a little less than that. Mm-hmm. What's the population there now?
Last census was about 16,000, 17,000
wow,
in the city.
Right.
But that's a very deceiving,
exactly,
number.
Tell us more about that.
Wow. Well, if you've ever been to Sevier County in Sevierville, it is the gateway to the Smoky Mountains,
right,
literally.
Right.
And so on a given day, we'll have 30,000 tourists coming through there on a given day. And then out in the county, it's the hub, it's the county seat.
Right.
It's the hub of activity in the county for all the stuff you need to buy to live.
Right.
So there again, you add another 15,000 or 20,000,
right,
plus the residents. So you're up in a probably close to a 60,000-70,000 person city.
Service population
right, on a given day.
Right.
So we've probably got more police and fire than any city, certainly in Tennessee, with 16,000 people.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, I can recall when I left there thinking that 35-acre park that you have, which is a nice park, was inadequate in terms of size. And certainly now, 40 years later, it is.
Unfortunately, that's still the way it is.
Right.
And we've got plans. We have 75 acres out on the east side of town.
Okay.
Near what we call Pittman Center Road,
okay,
that we hope to develop in the next few years. We also have a park out in the west part of the city, 25 acres out in called the Northview.
Northview out there.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Sevierville is 14 miles long and 6 miles wide, and in some places it's only about as wide as the road. Back when the day when in the 90s when annexation was a bit easier in Tennessee, Sevierville annexed all the way to exit 407.
Okay, so that's all the way out to I-40.
That's right.
All right.
Technically, when you go from Knox County to Sevier County, you go from the city of Knoxville to the city of Sevierville.
All right, I didn't know. Okay.
Yes, and then a couple miles down the road, you go from city of Sevierville to Jefferson County.
Sure. So, to Dandridge, Tennessee.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was aggressive, very aggressive in any sense of the word, but we knew that that was going to develop. We didn't know how. And as a matter of fact, I read in the paper this morning where the Cherokee Nation over in North Carolina bought about two major tracts of land at exit 407.
In Tennessee?
Yes.
I didn't know this.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, you think about that over in Cherokee, you know, gambling is...
Oh, I see.
Is prevalent.
Right.
They are anticipating that legalized gambling will become... But there's a lot of hoops.
And as an Indian nation, they may not need for the state to do anything.
Well, that is an interesting question.
Yeah, yeah.
I do not know the answer, but that may be true.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have to tell you, I'm not sure that there's really any need for any further great development in that little community.
Well, there's... we already have a baseball stadium there. We have a double-A team.
Right.
And there's a Bass Pro out in that world, and it's probably one of the busier interstate interchanges in Tennessee.
Right. The last time my wife and I were up in that area, we stayed there at the Best Western or whatever little hotel was there, because we were looking at the. Seven Islands State Birding Park,
yes.
Which is right there. And so we were looking at some of the parks up in East Tennessee, and that was a nice little area to stay.
Well, kind of interesting. As of yesterday, Parks and Rec is going to take over the landscaping and beautification of Exit 407.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I won't go into details,
right.
But I would challenge it. Give me a month or two and even a year, and when you get off exit 407, that's going to be the front yard.
It'll look shape it up.
We're going to shape it up.
All right.
Yes.
Excellent. So, Bob, your tenure there in Sevierville has there's been some big time milestones. The highlight is the development of your community center there.
Well, I got to give credit where credit is due, and again, that goes back to Mayor Gary Wade. He had a vision. He had gotten City Park started, and he knew that he was not going to be mayor forever. He had other things that he wanted to do. And when I took the job in 1979, in November of 79, they had just started a campaign to raise money. And you got to think, back in 1979, raising money at a level of $500,000 in a town of 5,000 people was unheard of. But Gary's one of those people that if he believes in something, he'll make it happen. 6 months, it was not an easy vote. It was a 3-2 vote by council, because they didn't think he could do it. And they gave him 6 months to raise $500,000, and they said, okay, we'll match it with $1.5 million bond, which for Sevierville,
that's a lot of money.
That was never even dreamed about. You know, we paid cash for everything. You know, we didn't borrow money, and the city was in no debt, zero debt. Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
You could borrow money, you know, when you're not in debt. But so he did it. We opened it. Let's see, July 21st, which is this week. Yeah, let's see. Today is the What is today's date, Mark? I don't even know.
Well, today's the, what is today's date?
No, 16th. So
yeah.
5 days from now, 38 years ago, we opened the door on the Sevierville Community Center.
And it's a terrific facility. A beautiful swimming pool, you have bowling alleys, which at the time I thought was an unusual choice for a small town, but turned out to be a positive choice.
Well, you know how that came about was they went up to the Sevier County High School and they did a survey of what the students would want.
All right.
And there used to be a bowling center lane in Pigeon Forge, and there hadn't been for years. And it came to the top as far as a priority. And so we put in a bowling center and an indoor pool, a gym, racquetball courts, and an exercise, a little exercise room now, which has grown to be a tremendous asset. The whole building is 1 acre or 43,000 square feet under roof.
It's a terrific, beautifully designed building. I can remember talking with Jim Kirkendall, I guess,
yes,
was the architect involved with that project.
And Jim was the primary architect.
Right.
There was a gentleman from Gatlinburg who's an architect. His name slips me. That steep roofs were his.
Yeah, Hubert Bebb.
Hubert Bebb, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Steep roofs was his, you know, that was his,
the signature of his
design.
Right.
And that carried over into our community center. 40 years later, or 38 years later, we're putting a new roof on it.
Oh, boy.
And the roof costs $1 million. The whole building costs $2 million.
So the roof is just worn out over time.
Well, 40 years.
Yeah, of course.
It was the first metal roof in Sevier County.
Okay.
And, of course, everybody said, that'll never work, you know. 40 years later.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So other highlights of your tenure there, I know you've been deeply involved, as you talked about earlier, about your Trails conference that you're going to in Greenways.
Mm-hmm.
You guys initiated a Greenways project there in Sevierville. Tell us about that.
Yes, we did. And let me kind of go back to how Greenways came about. And I was president of the Tennessee Recreation Park Association in 1991, and that was the year that we were able to get through the local Parks and Recreation Fund, which was basically a small percent when you go to closing on a house that goes into a fund, which then is distributed both to the Department of Agriculture and to TDEC.
Right.
And then
Real Estate Transfer Tax.
Right.
Exactly.
And I was president when we got that through. And then about the same time, Bill Clinton took 1%. The Clinton administration took 1% of our gas tax, not 1 cent, 1%, and created a fund, which now goes to each state, which TDOT manages.
Oh, yeah, this is the intermodal transportation.
It's what's called local programs in Tennessee.
Okay.
And actually, that pot of money is much larger than LPRF.
Okay, all right.
And there's, I call TDOT my favorite four-letter word.
So how does that, Greenways show itself on the landscape in Sevierville? Now, people that are not familiar with Sevierville that may be listening.
Well, we have lots of rivers. We have three major rivers and two downtown Sevierville.
Okay.
And then back in the 60s, TVA rechanneled the rivers because of flooding.
Right.
And what happened when that got done, it created some unusable land on the banks of the river, and you couldn't build anything, and it took me about...
Because it was subject to flooding.
That's right.
Right.
That's
right.
And the rivers were rechanneled so that the downtown wouldn't flood, and it hadn't flooded. It's done what it was supposed to do. So, but we thought, I thought, that that was a viable way of putting in green waste. Now, go back to Gary Wade. He had a brother. His name was Sid.
Right.
Sid worked for Delta Airlines. Sid traveled all over the world, and he, particularly in Europe. And he saw how communities in Europe and in, say, more larger cities in America had developed their riverfront. It was his vision that, and I'll give credit to Sid. Sid passed away. Soon after Sid's funeral, Gary Wade came to me and he said, "I need a favor." I said, "Sure." He says, "Keep the Greenway vision going. We'll make it work." And about that same time was when all the money from the state and the feds, greenways became a more important in our world than it was.
So we have the west prong of the little pigeon and the east prong of the little pigeon meet together in Sevierville.
Well, you know, Mark, that's it. Yes, but okay. I always called it the east prong.
Okay.
But the east prong meets the middle prong.
Middle prong.
And then the middle prong meets the west prong.
All right.
And I've been corrected on that even recently.
And then further out, the French Broad.
Then you go into the French Broad, right, which goes to Tennessee, which right, eventually goes right, to the Mississippi.
Right.
Yeah.
So your greenways is going along those river corridors.
Yes, it goes along the river, but we also have gone along Middle Creek,
okay,
which Middle Creek is a major water source out of the mountains,
okay,
that comes through Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, and down into Sevierville.
Okay.
And so we've developed the Middle Creek Greenway,
okay,
section. And now you can literally walk from, and then a major, major section is a parallel greenway along Veterans Boulevard, which is the major thoroughfare that takes you to from Sevierville to Pigeon Forge and to Dollywood.
Okay. Okay.
So you can go from Sevierville to Dollywood on a greenway.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, that's not been all peaches and cream to develop.
That's a very nice word to say. No.
Well, tell us about the struggles that you have, because other people would like to learn about this.
Well, first, back to the river.
Yeah.
When TVA rechanneled a river, that was back in the day when permits were not required. They got forgiveness and not permission. And basically, everybody wanted the river to... was the enemy, and TVA was saving the city. So sure, you can go out there and build, you know, no problem, because my land is worthless when it floods.
Right.
And if you say it's not going to flood, I know my property value will go up. So, but when they did all the rechanneling, they didn't change the deeds. Literally, the deeds to the properties were never reconfigured to what was done.
Okay.
So when we started in 19, no, I guess it was in the late 80s, it took me about 6 or 7 years to figure all this out, going through several lawyers of
who owned what.
In some cases, people that owned the river according to their deed, when in reality they didn't.
Right.
But they said, yeah. And then in some cases, it went across the river over to another piece of property over on the other side.
Right.
So we got, it took a while, but we got all that figured out. And then we then went back to wherever we needed to go and got easements. And at that point,
we didn't even know who to negotiate an easement.
We had no idea.
With.
No,
right.
No.
Right.
But once we got all that figured out, took several years, we had a new mayor. Charlie Johnson. He was a local attorney, and he happened to be a real estate attorney.
All right.
That helped.
Sure.
He knew not only the process, but he knew the people.
I imagine you'd have to go into court and get some declaratory judgments about
work. We never did.
Never had to.
No.
Okay.
It was all handshake, all face-to-face. Everything was done in writing.
Nothing adversarial about it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, there's two pieces of property that were adversarial.
Okay.
And actually, last night, the mayor and board of aldermen approved We've got a what we call a recreation trails program grant, 700 linear feet. It's going to cost $250,000.
Wow.
Because of the topography.
Right.
It's going to be built, and it's taken me 20 years to get it built.
But it's a linking piece.
It's a missing link.
Right.
Literally the Greenway stops, and luckily I don't know if you remember when you were there. There was a white store and a development that later became Walmart.
I do not know.
Okay. Well, there was a gentleman in town. He was an attorney. And when they sold that, they kept a strip of land down on the river for some unknown reason.
Okay.
Probably didn't know he had it. But so he passed away, and the family quit claimed that piece of land to the city. And that's why we're able to build that Greenway.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, people that visit there should explore those areas as well.
You would be amazed at the wildlife in downtown Sevierville. Ducks, blue herring, otters. You can see fish. The water is so clear, you can see the fish.
Sure.
One day I was walking down there, and a blue herring came down and scooped a fish right out of the river. And
that was a sight to see.
Well, it was. It's like, well, he's got his lunch, but I don't think the fish knows where he's going right now.
Well, and as I recall, there's an old Indian mound out there as
well. Yep, and that is owned by the city, maintained by Parks and Rec.
Right.
And that in the middle 80s, it was owned by the Temple family, which is a prominent family in Sevierville. And they came to us and said, we'd like to give this, because we can't really do anything with it, Indian mound.
Right.
And
it was right adjacent to the river where
TVA,
well, what is now the river because of TVA's channel.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
Wasn't it always adjacent
well,
to the
river? Well, what happened, it was a ceremonial Indian mound.
Right, right.
Dr. Jeff Chapman, who was the over the McClung Museum at the University of Tennessee, came, and him and I worked together, and he basically said this was, in those days, the funeral home. This is where the ceremony was. There really wasn't only the top echelon of the tribes were buried there.
Right.
He said everybody else is buried out there.
Right.
Underneath now existing roads and buildings,
right.
But it was a ceremonial area.
You mentioned wildlife in downtown Sevierville.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I do recall is that the city park, there is actually an island in the river.
There is.
That is part of that park, 7 or 8 acres.
7 acres.
Yeah.
And it's still undeveloped at this point. It's still very natural. And there's a story, and it's been so long now I can probably share it. But we had a mayor at the time before, let me go back, before Gary was Cliff Davis.
Cliff Davis. I know the story you're about to
tell. And
he was
a very hands-on type mayor.
Right.
And we have a very prominent construction company in town. And TVA gave the city a grant to put a bridge from mainland City Park over to the island. And the construction company, who owns a concrete plant right next door, convinced him to build the bridge down into the river and use concrete, which was more or less this day and time would be illegal.
Because you're creating a dam.
Look, it's a dam.
Right,
created a dam.
Right.
So the bridge is more or less useless because the water goes over the bridge about 90% of the time.
I'm really surprised that bridge is still there.
Well, now it's harder to take out than it was probably to build it.
Right.
Because, we have discussed, and it's in our master plan, to look at either or creating a way to get to the island that where people can enjoy it, be it a nature area or disc golf or whatever it becomes.
Right.
And it's got trees over there, huge trees, right. You know.
Yeah, I've walked around that island quite a bit, and it's a really beautiful little natural area.
It is.
It lends itself to natural interpretation, I think.
Well, I agree totally.
You've got species of trees that you don't, because they're riparian type of trees that you don't see necessarily.
Exactly.
And it's
never been touched. It's as it was, you know,
40 years ago when I left.
I mean, and before that, you know.
Of course.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, we'll see. A lot of people don't even know it's there.
Right. It's probably a good thing.
It probably is, yeah.
So, Bob, you know, you mentioned briefly that you had been the president of the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association.
Yeah, that was many years ago. I don't want to have to do the math, but it was in 91, I believe.
Well, I can remember that you and I worked together some at that time. I was practicing law at the time. But was helping with the effort to get that legislation passed that you mentioned.
And that was not easy. And to be honest, I was shockingly surprised that it got through.
Tell us what you mean.
Well, for example, remember I mentioned our mayor at the time. Our mayor was a real estate lawyer. He didn't think that was a really good idea to add a tax to closing. So I had to walk on eggshells, basically, to support TRPA and its efforts, yet do a balancing act back home that this was a good thing and that we would get money for stuff later on.
Right.
And we've done well with the LPR program.
Right.
The greenways, improvements to parks, improvements to swimming pools. LPRF has been a good thing for Cerebral.
Well, you have continued your participation in TRPA.
I have. I've always been a member.
Right.
And to be honest, I've not as active as I was.
Right.
I'll go to the conference this year.
Right.
It's in Chattanooga.
Right.
I'm actually on a committee, on the elections committee. So, you know, I'm still active.
You've observed the phenomenon of the creation of a lot of new recreation and parks departments across the state.
Well, there's people. It has grown tremendously, TRPA. Parks and Recreation Movement across Tennessee, I think, has done well. I don't know how it compares to other states, but it's done very well. Matter of fact, I got a call yesterday from a county commissioner in Jefferson County, which is
neighboring county,
ultra conservative. You know, they wanted to build a pool. I said, well, you know, you understand that's quite a commitment, not only to build it but to maintain it. You know, well, you know that they're going to come over in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to show them sort of the deal.
Fantastic.
You know? So we'll see where it goes.
Well, you know, I can remember visiting in Jefferson City and talking to them about Parks and Rec, and they still really don't have a program over there.
Well, actually, they do.
Okay, tell us.
I don't know a whole lot about it, but they've got a little community center,
right.
And they've got a director who is a native of Jeff City, mm-hmm. and they got a little indoor pool. It's nothing as large as what we have in Sevierville,
right.
And they have a few ball fields, but that's about all I know about Jeff City. I don't go there very often.
Right.
So.
So you all in Sevierville have just, I guess, finished up a project of doing a master plan for your Parks and Recreation Agency.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we did it in-house. Well, first, let me go back about 3 years prior to that.
Okay.
We put RFPs out, and we tried to go the private route, get a private consultant come in. Our city leaders said, why should we spend $50,000 on something that we know you know more about than anybody else?
Any consultant would know, right?
So, well, you know, I say sometimes it's good to get a fresh set of eyes on things.
Right.
I don't want it to be biased.
Right.
And I really believe, and then we had a planner. Her name was Pam Caskey, who was very talented. And they have some very talented people at City Hall that have lots of nice toys to create nice documents. We use focus groups. We use online surveys. We established a boundary of our service area. And we took all that information and put in it. It took us 18 months to do it. And guess what the number one thing was that people wanted more of?
You tell me.
Greenways.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And if you told me that when this thing started, you know, I said, oh, no, they want more baseball fields or, you know.
Or swimming pools.
Or swimming pools, yeah. Or a football field for the youth or something like right. No. Natural areas, more programming for senior adults. Sevierville's population has, the demographics have changed unbelievably. It is where people live to work there. And they come from all over the world. You know, we have people from, obviously, from Mexico. We have people from Eastern Europe. People from Russia. And they are recruited to come to work in the tourist industry.
Okay.
But they, about the only place they can afford to live, and they live in groups. They don't, it's not a typical, you know, four people in a three-bedroom house.
Okay.
It's probably 10 people right. in a three-bedroom house.
All right.
But that's better than the conditions they have at home.
Right.
And they're making much better wages. And of course, dividing that by 10, their living costs are much less.
So you're having to provide services for a different sort of population than ever.
Absolutely.
Before, right.
Absolutely.
And then you have an aging population too.
People come to visit Sevier County and then they love it and then they come back and retire.
Right.
Just last night, we approved a program called Silver Sneakers.
I know it well.
And it's been a long time coming. It's been probably a little slower than it should have been. But we have a lot of people that visit our pool and our fitness center, and they wanted to take advantage of their program that is available to them through their insurance.
Right. I've got Silver Sneakers on my Medicare policy. So
really?
I take advantage of that.
Yeah.
I go to the Y basically for free.
Yeah. That's really what it's all
about.
My
Medicare policy.
It's a third party reimbursement back to the city.
Exactly.
City doesn't, you know, we charge the insurance company what we would
right.
charge you.
Right. On a per day basis
yeah.
or whatever they
right.
do.
Right. So it's a very, you know, that's one example. We have a lot of people who take health and wellness very seriously there, particularly with the greenways, a lot of walkers. The culture has changed, Mark. It's changed.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I encourage listeners to go online, the City of Sevierville Parks and Recreation Department, and you can see for yourself the plan that they have done. And Bob has brought me a slick printed copy of it, and it's quite an impressive document.
I'm biased, of course, Mark, but you lay two or three documents up on this table from people in the private sector, and I think ours would
certainly
would be right up there as good or better.
Certainly. I noticed in reading it, one of the things that that you talk about is exploring the relationship between the city Parks and Recreation Department and the schools for purposes of utilizing facilities there in the schools.
Yes.
Right.
Just in Sevierville alone, well, I counted one day, there's 12 or 15 gymnasiums
sure.
now.
Sure.
schools. And my goal at some point is to have some type of school park agreement so that we can use those for sports tourism. And Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge have gone out, and Pigeon Forge built the Ripken Experience, which is baseball. Gatlinburg built Rocky Top, which is indoor volleyball and indoor basketball, and then soccer fields. Sevierville has not.
Those are sort of commercialized.
Oh definitely. And they were built by the city, but they're managed by private.
Okay.
And their goal in life is to bring a different clientele of traveler to the mountains.
Interesting.
And everything you see and read is doing well. We chose not to get into that business yet, and don't know really where that's headed.
Except y'all have built a golf course.
Yes, well, we have two, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. You're getting into the tourist business.
We are, sure. And we have a convention center, by the way.
Right, right.
And we use that. There was a Tennessee law that's now no longer on the books that allows cities to develop convention centers.
Okay.
And basically, the you draw a line in the sand, and then moving forward, the amount of sales taxes generated is kicked back to Sevierville to help pay the debt on the property, on the development.
Sure.
So we have a huge convention center, and it does well. Okay. We have two golf courses. We might have half of a golf course too much. I don't know. Two golf courses is a lot.
Right.
I think different type of tourists come to Sevier County. And I don't. And you get some golfers, but most people that come are probably medium income.
Right. I want to get back to the schools business, as long as we're talking about golf, the setting for those golf courses is quite nice. That low lying area there along the river, it's quite beautiful.
It was a farm that flooded. And basically could never be developed for commercial buildings.
Or residential. Right.
In the 90s, we looked at it, and more or less the most expensive items on a golf course are the greens and the tee boxes.
Sure.
So all the greens and tee boxes are above the 100-year flood. And the fairways are lower. It's probably flooded 20 times. We've never lost a green, never lost a...
Fantastic.
Yeah, so it's designed to use land that could not be... It's creating revenue from land that would really not... be idle.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, going back to the schools, Bob, I'm going to relay a story to you about what happened in Sevierville before you had a community center.
Okay.
When I first got there, there was discussion about we need that sort of a facility.
Mm-hmm.
The group went down to the YMCA organization in Knoxville to try to persuade the YMCA to build a facility in Sevierville, thinking that we'd be getting someone else to do this for
right.
us. And the Y basically said, "We're not really interested in doing that because you have not demonstrated that there's a need or that people would participate in such a thing as that."
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did is we began to use the school facilities for programming, for all the basketball leagues and the volleyball leagues and the belly dancing classes and all the stuff that park and recreation agencies do. And we, by God, demonstrated mm-hmm. that the people were interested in those things and sort of laid the groundwork for that community center.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I know that story well. I've been told the story many times by others.
Right.
And when I came to Sevierville in 79, we were still using the gymnasium.
Sure, there was nothing else to do.
At the primary school.
Right.
And we did up until 82, until we built the community center.
Right.
The school system in Sevier County is unique in that it is not zoned. In other words, you can go to any school in the county.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I won't get into the whys of that, but and then the schools, although the school board gives a great deal of authority and autonomy to the principals, and of course those schools more or less support the community of which they're located.
Right.
That makes it very difficult for the city to come in and do any programming. It's going to be an uphill battle. I'm not sure the word battle is a proper term.
Right.
But there's so over the years been so many decisions made that would have to change for the city to integrate into that. I think it's a good idea. I hope by the time I decide to retire that we have made progress there.
Right.
It's a goal.
Sure.
I don't know how obtainable it is, but it's a goal.
Sure. Yeah, your point's well taken, and I remember that we got started to use the primary school. At the time, it was kind of an older facility. I don't know if you're still using that same
building. It's still there.
Yeah. But an adequate gym and little classrooms were classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to know the fellow that was the principal pretty well, a guy named Jerry Ware.
Oh, Jerry, very well.
Terrific guy, and we just got along. And it depended on that good relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is going to be the key to that is, and I think the relationships of the current generation will roll over to be a positive thing.
Right.
Because some of the folks that had been in decisions are seen to be, rolling out now.
Right, right.
And newer blood's coming right in.
Well, Bob, you've been in that job for just about 40 years.
In November of this year,
right,
will be 40 years.
So what are your thoughts about the future?
Well, I'm 64. According to Uncle Sam, I can't draw my Social Security until I'm 67 and a few months.
All right.
So, and I need that to retire.
Sure, sure.
And so I've got about 3 years mathematically.
Okay.
However, if my health holds, which right now it's fine, and the city manager that's there who hired me and then came back is still there.
Right.
I'll stay as long as
fantastic. Fantastic.
As long as I get up in the morning and don't dread to go to work.
Sure enough.
And I've never dreaded to go to work any day ever in Sevierville. Some days are better than others, obviously. But when that day comes, as John Ward said when he retired at the University of Tennessee, it's time.
Right.
It's just time.
Right.
That day hadn't come yet.
Fantastic. Bob Parker, thank you so much for coming to join us today.
Hey,
on the
it's
Mark
been
Ferrell
great,
podcast.
Mark. Thank you.
All right. Enjoyed it so much.
Very well.
All right.